Matthew chapter 28, the Bible says, "And the end of the Sabbath, it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said to the women, 'Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen.'" Appreciate the great singing from the ladies this morning. And if you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of John and chapter number 19. John chapter number 19. And the Gospel of John is the fourth book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then you'll find the book of John. And chapter number 19 this morning, and we're going to start reading verse number 28. And so glad you could be with us this morning. Thank you again for choosing to be with us this Easter. And our theme for this year for the singing and for the preaching is one thing paid in full. And I believe the scripture this morning will help us understand that. John chapter 19, and look at verse number 28. The Bible says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was yet a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. If you look down at verse number 30 with me, look at that phrase, it is finished. That word, it is finished, that actually comes from the Greek word, and it's actually a financial term. So Jesus literally paid for our sin in full. And as God, because Jesus Christ is God the Son, he was the God-man. He was 100% God and 100% man. And as God, he paid for our sin in full. Now, we live in a world where we are constantly paying for things. Hey, April 15th was just here and we paid our taxes, or the IRS will come looking for us. And we wear clothes this morning because we paid for them, or someone else did. We got up this morning, if you ate breakfast, you paid for it, or someone else did. When you drove to church this morning, somebody had to put gas in the car. We live in a world where we pay for everything. You don't believe me, buy eggs at the grocery store and you'll see that we really do pay for everything. But there's one thing in life that we cannot pay for. No matter how much money we have, no matter how much work we do, there's one thing that we can never pay for. And that's why Jesus had to come. That's why there is the cross. Because Jesus had to pay for it himself, and he paid for it in full. What are you talking about this morning, preacher? Well, to understand this, number one, we have to understand sin's curse, the curse of sin. Hey, long before you and I were born, God created two people in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. They chose to sin against God. Now, we can blame them for that sin, but reality is, if you and me were in the same spot, we may have made the exact same choice. And ever since then, sin entered into the world. And because of Adam and Eve's choice, all of us, we are all born sinners. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12 simply says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know, I grew up in a preacher's home. My daddy was a Baptist preacher. And guess what? I was born in sin. My wife grew up in a good home. She's got two loving parents, but guess what? She was born in sin. I had friends growing up, and their parents, they came from broken homes and sad situations. Guess what? They were born in sin. I met some of the nicest people in the world and had friends who were their children, and guess what? They were born in sin. Every single one of us, no matter how good we think we are or how good we want to be, all of us were born sinners. We're all born sinners. And because of that, we have inherited a sin nature. What is sin? Sin is simply missing the mark. Sin is anything that offends God. Sin is choosing to disobey God. All of those things are categorized, and they're sufficient to say they are sin. And I'm being honest this morning. If I were to be an honest preacher, I must tell you the truth. Sin has a price. The Bible says in Mark chapter 9 and verse 48, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That is a place called hell. The place called hell is real. It's in the Bible. In Luke chapter number 16, the Bible says the rich man in hell, he lift up his eyes. And for 2,000 years, that same rich man has burned in the flames of hell. There is a hell, and there is a price for sin. But the Bible says something interesting about hell. It says the fires in hell are never quenched. Why is that? Because no matter how we try, men burn forever in hell, and women, and who thought themselves good maybe, they burn in hell, and hell never's fires are never quenched. They never stop burning. Because no matter how long we suffer for our sin, we could still never pay for our sin. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 25, those that rejected him, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. You see, it's not, the Bible teaches us that in the Bible, death is not separation. Death is not annihilation, it's separation from our body. It's separation from God the Father. That is what death is. The Bible says simply, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Because everyone is a sinner. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. I believe we understand that this morning. The consequences of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. To be separated from God for eternity. No matter how good we are, if we're not saved, we would still be separated from God for eternity. We can't go to a place called purgatory. You can look through the whole Bible and you'll never find one mention of a place called purgatory where you could go and burn your sins out. And eventually you'll be able to get to heaven because you've burned enough of your sins out. You won't find that in the Bible. You won't find in the Bible where you can go to a baptismal pool and get sprinkled and that water will wash away your sins. So you won't have to go to that place of hell and the lake of fire. You won't find that anywhere in the Bible. You won't find anywhere in the Bible if you have your good works, and if your good works outweigh your bad works, you can get to heaven. Nowhere is that found in the Bible. But the Bible does say in Revelation chapter 20 and in verse number 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. Because it is very simple to tell us what John 3 says. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The preacher is condemning no one, but the Word of God simply says where anyone, even a child, can understand that when somebody is without God, when somebody is not saved, the wrath of God abides upon them. And no matter what we do or whatever the best we could do, it is still filthy rags in the sight of God. Whenever we are, the wrath of God abides on us without Christ. That is the curse of sin. Myself, no matter how good I could possibly be, no matter how clean a suit I could wear, I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to go to hell because I was born a sinner. We have to understand the curse of sin. But I'm thankful the Bible doesn't just have bad news. That's why Jesus came to bring the gospel, the good news. Yes, there is a sin curse, but the Savior came to pay the cost for that curse. 2 Corinthians says simply, for we have made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, he who knew no sin became sin. What does that mean? Well, the Bible teaches us a simple story that many of us have heard, plain and simple, that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. We know the story at Christmas time. We put out the little manger scene and the wise men and the shepherds, that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. But he was born to die. Jesus Christ, God himself, never did anything wrong as he lived on this earth for 33 and a half years. But the Pharisees didn't like him. We know the story. But it was all part of the divine plan of God. And even though Jesus wanted to save them, he told them they could look in the scriptures and see that it was him that was bringing eternal life. But they despised and rejected him. And they turned him over to Pilate. Pilate said, I can find no fault in him because he was an innocent man. And then Pilate, trying to appease the crowd, he took him. And he gave him to the Roman soldiers who beat him with that cat of nine tails, ripping the flesh from his body over and over again. And then he was presented back to Pilate. How bad was the beating? The Bible tells us in the same book in John that Pilate said, behold the man. Why? Because Jesus had been so scarred by the beating, it was hard to tell he was even a man. And then Pilate washed his hands with that water and sent Jesus off to be crucified. And he had to carry the cross, not unlike this one, up that street of Jerusalem, up the side of the Mount Golgotha until they reached the top. Then the cross was laid down on its side. Jesus was placed on top of it. And a Roman soldier took the spike and began to beat that spike into the hand of our Savior. Then the other hand, the same spike was beating in. Then his feet to the cross. Then as they lifted that cross to drop it into the hole, it is said that the people who were crucified, that would literally knock their bones out of joint as it fell into the hole. And there our Savior hung, and he was there. And he, for the next 3.5 hours, God turned the sky black, because no one could see what was really going on as Jesus Christ took the sin from the Adam and Eve until the present day and every sin that will be committed until he returns and took every sin from every person of all mankind upon himself. He literally became sin who knew no sin. Why? So he could make you and me the righteousness of God. He became sin. He became a murderer. He became a liar. He took upon every sin. He became that so he could pay for our sin and pay it in full. For Christ also suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. He was just. He was righteous. He was sinless. But he died for me and he died for you who is not sinless, who are guilty, who deserve to die. It was me who should have been crucified. It was our sin that caused him to be nailed. He took it and paid it in full. Isaiah 53, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Romans 4, who was delivered for our offenses. See, it was your sin and it was my sin. It was all of our sin that caused him to go to the cross. The beating of the nail was for the lies you have told, for the sin you have done, for the things I have done. The things that we don't want anyone to know about, the wrong we have done. That is why Jesus went to the cross. Every evil thing, everything we thought wasn't evil, but we missed the mark on it. We disobeyed God. We knew to do good, as James says, and we did it not. We sinned. All of those were nailed to Jesus on the cross. The cross, though, it was not an accident. The cross, it wasn't a backup plan. It was the divine plan of God. The Pharisees, they thought, man, we got the best of him. Look at him up on that cross. He won't bother us again. But it was the divine plan of God. Because the cradle was to lead to the cross. It was God's purpose for Jesus to die. Jesus wanted to die. Jesus wanted to go to the cross. No, he didn't want the pain. No, he didn't want the sorrow. No, he didn't want to be separated from God the Father. But he did it for you and for me. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but hath everlasting life. Jesus wants you to go to heaven. Jesus paid for your sin so you could be with him. On the cross, Jesus was separated from God the Father. That's why as his arms were outstretched, he yelled, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Jesus was separated from God the Father momentarily so you and I could never be separated eternally if we would choose to put our trust in him. Jesus paid it all. Why did Jesus have to pay the cost? Because we're sinners and we must have his forgiveness. The Night Watch was a famous painting by Rembrandt, a famous artist. One of Rembrandt's most famous paintings sold for over $175 million. But the Night Watch is sometimes forgotten. That was it. But my favorite painting of Rembrandt was what he called the Raising of the Cross. As he painted the Raising of the Cross, you could see the Roman soldiers in the pictures. You could see the horses in the background of those soldiers. You could see the crowd as they stared as the cross was raised. You could even see his interpretation of Jesus on the cross. But if you look closely at the painting, you'll see as Rembrandt painted that picture, he did something that artists never do. He painted himself as the one that rose the cross. You could see what Rembrandt looked like, his face there, as he painted it. When asked why, Rembrandt wanted everyone to know that it was me that rose the cross. Rembrandt understood that he was a sinner, and it was him that put Jesus on that cross. It was you and me, the reason he had to die. The reason we have the cross is because of our sin, and he understood that. I wonder if we understand that this morning. I'm thankful for the day in my life I understood that. I grew up in a preacher's home. I could quote you Bible verses. I had been to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That was me. But I was still lost. I was still headed for hell. And I remember, I was thankful an old preacher got up and said I didn't have to go to hell from where I was. And the gospel was preached. And I got saved. And you in your life, maybe you're here this morning and you've been coming to church and you know the Bible and you could quote me some verses and you believe church is important and you know about the cross. You've heard the story time and time again. You felt so much that you could touch it. But you've never been to it for forgiveness. Do you know that the devil himself, the Bible says the devil believes and trembles? You know the devil believes in the cross? The devil believes that Jesus Christ died? That's a matter of history. But history can't save you. But when you come to the reality that you have to have the cross, you have to have the forgiveness of sin to go to heaven, that can. It's not just believing it about the cross. It's believing in the cross. That you put your faith and trust in Jesus alone to take you to heaven. That works can't get us there. Hey, religion can't get us there. Only relationship with Jesus can get us there. And yes, he died on the cross to pay for our sin, to pay for our ticket to heaven. And he paid it in full. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He's the only way we can live. And that's really the story. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. See, Jesus could die for our sins, and that would get us right with God. But the only way we're going to be able to go to heaven is if Jesus would rise from the grave. If the tomb would be empty, is the only way that we could get to heaven. The tomb had to be empty. Jesus had to rise from the dead. And because he lives, we have the opportunity to live. Because Jesus Christ lives today. The Bible is clear. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus lives today to receive sinners. Jesus lives today to forgive sins. That is Jesus Christ. And that brings us, the sin's curse is there, yes. And yes, the Savior paid the cost. But now the sinner has the choice. A choice we couldn't have had before the cross. A choice that we never could have made on our own. But now the cross, the empty tomb, calls to the lost and dying soul and begs you to come to Jesus and begs you to come for forgiveness and begs you to trust in Jesus Christ and him alone for salvation. Because God commendeth his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Don't you want the light of the empty tomb to show in your life? Don't you want God to forgive you? Don't you want to go to heaven? The preacher can't take you to heaven. Believe it or not, the church can't get you to heaven. But Christ can. J.C. Riley said, how sad it is to come to church but never come to Christ. Salvation is a gift. See, the secret to eternal life is to realize that it cannot be earned. It's not a reward for the righteous. It's a gift for the guilty. When we look at the cross, we see the suffering in our place. We see the substitution. I remember when I played basketball in high school, and when I started, I loved playing, and when I heard the buzzer ring and the sub would come in to get me, I didn't want to see him. I didn't want to talk to him. I told him to go sit down. I didn't want to come out the game. He would come in and we'd substitute and the buzzer would ring and he'd come in and I'd tag him and I'd go sit down and hoping I could get back in the game. I was a substitution. You know, in our life, you're going to go to heaven, you need Christ's substitution. Jesus was our substitute. He took the wrath of God. He took our sin and asked to give us his forgiveness. You never get a better bargain than that. Your sin for Christ's salvation. He was our substitute. And I love that it was a satisfactory payment because Jesus said, it is finished. It's paid in full. No debt will be called later. There'll be no mortgage to pay it off. It's once for all, Hebrews says. Once for all, Christ died. Jesus had to die one time, but you have to accept him one time to go to heaven. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Salvation is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus is God, that he loves you, that he came to this earth to die for your sins. If you'll put your faith and trust in him, he will save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Many years ago in London, there was a famous nightclub. The name of the nightclub was the Gates of Hell. People came from all over England and even Europe to visit the Gates of Hell. Down the street from this evil place was Calvary's Church, as it was called. And outside Calvary's Church, they had built a beautiful cross that passerbys could see from a great distance. There was a stranger in town one day, and he was searching for the nightclub. He saw a policeman, and he stopped him and said, "Sir, can you please direct me to the Gates of Hell?" The officer, in a serious manner, said, "Yes, sir, I can. If you go down the street to Calvary's cross and just past the cross, you'll find the Gates of Hell." And that is the simple truth. Whenever somebody passes up the cross, there's nothing between them and hell. God would not have anyone go to hell, but when we pass up the cross, there's no other choice. A loving God doesn't send people to hell. Our sin sends us to hell that God has paid for. How sad would it be to go to a place that you never have to? I don't like going to the doctor, especially when I don't have to. Hey, I don't like going to pay my taxes if I can pay less. Why would you go to hell when you already paid so you didn't have to? Why would you suffer for your sin when you can already be forgiven? There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. There's no more judgment. There's no fire in hell for the believer. But you have to be a believer. Today would be a good day to make sure you're saved. Today would be a good day, if you've never been to the cross, to take a trip. The old rugged cross still stands to forgive sinners. Jesus still lives to save people. I'm thankful on February 17th, 2017, I made sure my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can go over to Gastonia, North Carolina. That's where I was born. You go to the courthouse, and somewhere in there, you'll find my birth certificate. There's a record that I was born. And in heaven today, there's a book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And every person that gets saved, God writes their name down. Is your name in the book? I would make sure today. There's no reason to go to hell when you can go to heaven. No one wants you to go to heaven more than God does. And he did everything in his power to make sure you could. Don't let it go to waste. Because Jesus paid for it. And he paid it in full. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you, Father, for your mercy. God, thank you, Father, that you made a way. You made the old rugged cross for me and for everyone that would come to you. God, I pray for the next few minutes, and heads will be bowed, eyes will be closed. People have a chance to make a decision for time and for eternity. I pray that you'd help us. A song will be played and no one will be looking. God, I pray that you'd help people make the right decision. God, if somebody's here in our midst, God, I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit of God would convict their heart. As the piano begins to play, that you'd help us, Father, see our need for you.